All right, happy Sabbath again, everybody. Happy Sabbath again, everyone. All right, if you would stand with me before, while you're standing, actually, next week is our Easter program. It's Easter at Mo, Easter experience at Message of Hope. And we invite you to come out. We start at what time, everybody? What time, everybody? It's on the flyer right behind me. Yeah. See that? I gave you the answer for the test. It's on the screen. What time we start, everyone? 10 a.m. We're going to have an amazing worship experience in the morning. We'll have good morning, and then we'll go right in our midday service. Lunch will be provided next week. You know, we're celebrating the resurrection, the death and the resurrection. And so, Elder Sterling, lunch is going to be amazing. Amen? Okay.
All right.
Please stand with me as we go in the Word this morning. We're in the book of John chapter 14, verse 6. And I'm going to read it in your hearing. John chapter 14, verse 6. Bible says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. You got to say it. Guys, you got to help me out. Say, neighbor. Matter of fact, find out your neighbor's name. Go ahead. What's your name? Go ahead. Ask your neighbor what's the name. Over here talking to people you don't even know their names. Yes, bad manners. Yeah, did you get the name? You got the name? All right. You got the name? You remember the name? All right. All right, go ahead. Call them by their name. Go ahead. Call them by their name. All right. That's it. Allow him to reintroduce himself. All right. I'm gonna say it one more time. All right? I want y'all to do it better. A lot of power. I want you to preach this title right here. Preach it. I'm going to read the text again. It says, Jesus answered. Right? So who's speaking?
Jesus.
Who's speaking?
Jesus.
All right. So he said, I am the way, the truth. No, don't repeat. I'm reading to you. I appreciate you, though. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor.
Allow him
to reintroduce himself. Amen. Go ahead. Be seated. I want to ask a question to you. Is there anyone here? I mean, we got a couple new first-time visitors, but I just, you know, being vulnerable and open and honest, is there anyone here who has never heard the name Jesus? Anybody? All right, so we've all heard, then I'm assuming, because ain't nobody put their hands up, so we've all heard the name Jesus, amen? 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 We've all, you know Jesus in the back? You know Jesus, sister? You remember Jesus? You know him? You know, who is Jesus? He's the what? Son of God. Who is Jesus to you? He's your father. He's everything. Who's Jesus? You know Jesus. Who's Jesus to you?
Messiah.
He's the Messiah to you. M'lady, what's your name?
Jordan.
Do you know Jesus? Yeah? You call him? Oh, you talk to him a lot? Oh, wow. Y'all have a like. Oh, y'all besties. Wow. So who's Jesus to you?
My best friend.
Your best friend. How you doing, Grandma? How you doing? You know, I know you know Jesus. Yes. Who's Jesus to you?
Oh,
He's everything to you. Nate, who's Jesus to you? He is the one who died to save our sins. Ani, you got one? Who's Jesus to you? He's your father. He's your father. Bryce, who's Jesus to you? Savior. I would ask Caden in the back, but Caden said Daff was going to, if you miss it. Caden, who's Jesus? Who's Jesus, Caden? Kian, sorry. Who's Jesus? Who's Jesus? I'm nervous. Jesus is your dad. He's your dad. Jesus. It's very interesting. We're in this season where we're celebrating the death and the resurrection of Christ. And so today, I want to talk about some things leading up to the death. You know, the title of my message is Allow Me to Reintroduce Myself, is really what it is. But my producer changed it up. I don't know. Is it? Oh, okay. All right. He didn't change it up. My bad. I guess I didn't write it right on here. And so I get this from a line from a song, and I'm not telling you to go listen to the song. But I want to drive home the point here that something is happening why Jesus would think to introduce or to reintroduce himself. Something is happening why Jesus would be reintroducing himself. See, in order to be all you have been called to be to others and to yourselves, you must be willing to let Jesus be all he has called to be to you. I'm going to say that one more time. In order for you to be all that you have called to be for others, you must be willing to let Jesus be all he has called to be to you. Some time ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, I preached a sermon, and the title of that sermon was called Bigger Isn't Always Better. And in that sermon, I spoke about the three ways that we live. Anybody remember? Culture, church, and kingdom. Culture. It's the three ways. The Bible gives us these principles. I'm not going to preach it now. Go back and listen to it if you want to learn. The Bible speaks about these principles. It's the three ways that a humankind, and I talk about the damage of living the way of the culture. I talked about the damages of living the way of the church. And I drove home, or I tried to drive home the importance of living kingdom way. Somebody say kingdom way. Say kingdom way. I argued that Jesus wants to be all he can be for you. I argued that Jesus is more than a redeemer who gives us a one-way ticket to heaven, but that he's also, somebody say a rabbi, who wants to put heaven in our hearts here on earth. And far too many of us are unaware of this reality, and as a result, are unconsciously spiritually settled. We're settling for segmented and a siloed Savior as opposed to a Savior who wants to do more than just get you to heaven. He wants to do more than just change your morals. He wants to do more. He wants to do more than what you are asking him to do. He wants to change your entire life. And settling is the spiritual settling. It's the most dangerous thing that you could do. It's I don't want to say it's okay to settle on the job, but you can get through settling on the job. You can get through settling at school. You're in school? You can get through settling at school. I'm not going to push for A+. I'm just saying. You can get by. You can get by. I remember one time I was in school and I was in this class. It was a finance class, and it was our first test, our first exam, and I sat down, and it was 7 questions, and I just need to choose 3. 7 questions, I need to choose 3 questions. I have 2 hours to do the 3 questions. 7 questions. I sat through, wrote my name on the paper. All right, question number 1. Okay, all right. Question number 2. Interesting. Question number 3. And I got all the way to question number 7, and I went back to the front of the paper, and I started just calculating what I needed to do, because this is 0 right here. I can't do nothing on this paper. I started calculating what I needed to do to ensure I get an above average grade in the class. I'm just trying to pass. You can get through with settling, but spiritual settling is the most dangerous thing that you could do. If you settle spiritually, you will never be all that you can be. And so here you are settling spiritually, and you're thinking you're doing an amazing job because you got a promotion at work, and you get a couple compliments, and you're doing good. But you're settling spiritually. It simply means you haven't tapped into power. Somebody say power. You haven't tapped in to power. You have something that could make your life easier, maybe. It could make your life more fulfilling, and you have not tapped into it. I don't bake. I love the kitchen, but I do not. I like to see, Randall, the fire hit the pot. I don't even like these flat tops. I don't even like them. I like gas. I like when you light it and the fire hit the thing and then the steam. I mean, I'm talking about them. That's cooking. I grew up in a place where you cooked outside. Nate, you don't know nothing about this. You know, we used to, back when I was your, there was no stove. There was a stove. I'm playing. But here I am trying to bake a very famous Jamaican dish called a cornmeal pudding. And this is how much I don't bake at all. Now, granted, I tell you, I spend a lot of time in the kitchen. This is how much I don't bake. Shireen, I got the thing. I put all the ingredients in the bowl, and I got the thing. I opened the thing, and there was a mixer in the thing, a mixer in the box. I don't even know what the name is. I don't. It's a mixer. You know what a mixer is? It's a mixer. It's a thing you press to plug it in, you press the button, zoom, it's a mix, right? But I'm like, nah, this. So what I did instead was I got a wooden spoon, and I went in the mixer, and I started just like doing it. Now, the thing with doing this is that it takes longer. It is not that it can't work. It's that it takes longer. But see, we live in a day and in a time where we want every single thing that we need or want immediately. So that if we go on a YouTube on a video and the video takes too long to load, what is going on with the Wi-Fi? Can you restart the phone? What's happening? We want every single thing right now. Right now. I read an article in the New York Times some months ago, and they talked about restaurants, and they list the top 50 restaurants in the U.S. That's not fast food, and how sales have been plummeted. And so CEOs and they've been getting together trying to figure out how can we provide quality faster. Because we want every single thing we want right now. And so I'm there mixing. I'm mixing in the bowl, and I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. And I'm feeling good about my cornmeal pudding. And I'm like, yeah, all right. Now I got to grease the pan. Some people don't know cook. Y'all don't cook. You know what I'm saying? You got to grease the pan, and then you got to pour the mixture in the pan. And the thing with using a wooden spoon, I don't know the thing. I don't know. That's what my grandma, I got all the corners. I got all the corners out the bowl, got it in the thing, and I put it in the oven, and now I just sat back. This is the issue I have with bacon. It's not engaging. You do all the work, and you put it in, and you just sit and wait. And so I sat back, and then about 45 minutes, I don't know how much time, I went and I checked on that thing, and I was like, turn the light on. And I turned the light on, and I was like, okay, all right, it looks like it's going to happen. It looks good. It's good. And I give it some more time, and then there's a custard. There's a thing that you do to put on the top. And so I do the thing, and I put it on the top, and I sit back now, and I'm like, yeah, this thing, Randall, I know you bake. Randall's a baker. Huh? Randall, you selling pies. You a baker. You can sell stuff that people enjoy. It's Gordon Ramsay and Randall right after. And so now this thing is finished. It's finished, and I take my container out, and I'm like, I can't wait for it to cool. I just want to get in right now. And I got in with a knife, and I realized this thing was the clumpiest. It was so clumpy. It was clumpy because I had access to power. I had access to something that could do the work in a lesser time than I did with the wooden spoon, and I didn't use it. This is what we do spiritually when we settle. You know what I'm saying? You take, for God so loved the world, you take that, and you hold on to that, and you live by that. But then you forget the part where he says, the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came to give you life and give you life more abundantly. Spiritual settling is dangerous. It is dangerous to settle. You really don't tap into every single areas of your life and every single potential. You don't reach your highest potential when you settle spiritually. So you settle spiritually, and you are affected physically. You are affected emotionally. You are affected relationally. If you think you can have a happy, lasting, consistent relationship without the Spirit leading you, without really tapping into Jesus, then you have a wrong mistake right there. It's not going to happen. No matter how many books you read. You read the bestsellers, New York, no matter if you will suffer relationally. Because the truth is, we got some married couples in the thing. I'm not going to look at nobody while I say this, because I don't want to get in any. Sometimes your spouse could be a complete headache. Right, Merlin? Merlin, right? Just checking to see if you're listening. It's not even that our spouses are headaches, but we go through life, right? We go through life. And going through life, dealing with loss and paying bills and going to work and dealing with the kids and then have to come down and sit and say, hey, we need to talk and stuff. It can be very, very, very daunting, very frustrating. Very frustrating unless you tap into that power that you have access to. And so what's happening here? What's happening here in the scripture that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want to just like dig in the way. Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, before I even go there, let me say this. I want to talk about the seven. If you read the book of John, there are seven I ams. Jesus says, I am seven times. I want to just quickly like talk about the I ams that he pointed out in the book of John. But before I get to even the first one that I read, the scripture reading, I want to go back here to Exodus chapter 3. See, Jesus is he is making a claim. Y'all remember Exodus chapter 3? There's a guy in Exodus chapter 3 that went up. He was there with his family, Phina, right? He was there with his family. And then he went up on this mountain, right? And then there was a burning bush. Y'all remember that? There's a burning bush. And here, this is Moses. Talk about Moses. And Moses is having a conversation with God. And Moses, God tell Moses, hey, go to Egypt and go get the people. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Y'all remember it? No? Okay, y'all following? Okay, so go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, Moses grew up in Egypt. He grew up in Egypt. He knew the culture, he knew the way, he knew the life. He understood it. He was as much Egyptian as he was a Hebrew. And so Moses said to God, all right, okay, now he knows that in Egypt there are a plethora of cultures. They're whole different, a whole different type of cultures. Everybody have a different type of God. Right? Everybody have a different type of God. He knows that. And so he says, okay, I don't want to go, but okay, I'm stuttering. Okay, all right, fine, I'm going to go. Who should I say sent me? And what did God say? God say, I am. Go to them and tell them that I am has sent you. Go to them, the people, and tell them that I am have sent you. And so pretty much what God is saying is that I'm going to be what you need in whatever season you are. So if you want a healer, I am a. If you want a deliverer, I am a. If you want a restorer, I am a. If you want a provider, I'm a. See, God has never provided for you, because you'd have said that a lot louder. You'd have shouted that. You know what I'm saying? Moses is saying, now imagine, Moses said to God, who should I say send me? God says, I am. Now, Moses go to the people and say, hey, people, I came here to deliver you out of the hands of Pharaoh. Now, if I'm in the crowd, I'm going to put my hand up. Excuse me, Moses. Who sent you? 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 Who sent you?
I am.
So who's going to provide for you?
I am.
Who's going to restore you?
I am.
Who's going to deliver you?
I am.
Who's going to save you?
I am.
Who's going to redeem you?
I am.
I am. I am. Yo, this is like, wow. That's it? His noun, death, you're going to appreciate this. His noun is a verb. Here's the thing. God is who he is. He doesn't lie. But for him to be all that to you, you must tap into all aspects of him. Some time ago, we were looking for a keyboard to buy, a new keyboard, right? And Randall and I, we engaged in conversation. Randall was like, I'm gonna send you keyboard. I sent him a couple. He's like, nah, I'm gonna send you keyboard. He sent me the board. We got the board. I sat around it. No, I don't play, but I sat around it, and I was like, well, I have a couple songs. As a matter of fact, let me just to show you. Just to show you. This thing on, Randall? Well, how do you turn it on? On. No? All right, there we go. All right. I came. This is what I did. I saw it one Sabbath morning. I came. There was nobody here. And I was like, I'm gonna turn it on and see how it sounds. Because he's like, yo, this is it. That's what you said, right? You said, this is it. This is it. So I was like, all right, let me see how it sounds. And I started playing a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I started playing a little bit. You know what I mean? I started playing. Yeah. All right? Yeah. Yeah. And then, guess what I did? I played another song. Yeah. I was like. Y'all don't know this. Y'all don't know it. Yeah? And then I played another song. All right, okay. All right, so and so I played about a couple songs, man, and I was like, no, this is sounding like the same. It sounds the same. But then, Randall, hit this, go up there, go very low. But then Randall came and then we had sound check. Now, Randall, I want you to play something. Just put all the sounds up one now. Play something nice. Randall came and we had sound check. And I realized immediately what the problem was. Go ahead. Play, Randall. I realized immediately. Immediately I realized the problem was not in the board. The problem was not that the board wasn't, the volume wasn't up. The problem was that I didn't tap into all of the capabilities of the board. And so what it is that we suffer spiritually. We die spiritually. We die in all aspects because what we only tap into just a few aspects of God. And check this. I want to read this to you the way I wrote it. Thank you, Randall. Right? Check this, right? So check this quote, listen to this, right? It's a quote by D.T. Niles. It says, the dogness of the dog is in the dog, but the madness of the man is not in the man. It is in the relationship with God. In other words, you can't be human as God intended without the divine inside. The human isn't just a gang of cells. It is a habitation for the divine. In other words, we do not rise to the level of our desires. We live at the level of our understanding. So your faith suffers because you don't understand that when God says, I'm going to provide all your needs, that's what he means. I used to struggle. I was like, why in the word God would speak a word, Ellis Sterling, and immediately the miracle would happen. Immediately. A matter of fact, Jahai's daughter, he went to see God. He went to see God. Can you imagine, Randall, your family member is sick and you show up to the doctor without your family member? That's what he did. He showed up to the great physician, and the person who was sick wasn't even there. And God spoke a word, and immediately the healing took place. We need to tap more. We need to be done with this, you know. You need to be locked on to all of what God has. I told you, I said it in a prayer at the very beginning of the year. This year, I want all God. Don't hold nothing back, the Lord. Give me every single thing that you have for me. Prepare me right now for all the doors that you're going to open for me this year. And that needs to be our prayer. But see, in John here, he's reintroducing himself. See what happens in the book of Mark chapter, I believe chapter 6. What's happening in Mark chapter 6 is that Jesus goes home. He goes home and then he goes to church. And he goes in the church. And the Bible tells us that he was only able to do a few miracles. A few people got what every single person had access to. A few. A matter of fact, the they said in the Bible, ain't that John's brother? Ain't that Mary's son? You know, that's I'm gonna use cool words now. That's Haitian. That's hater talk. Yeah, in 2000, if they were supposed to write, Shireen, the Bible, that same verse, they would say little. They would say little. You know, that's when you know someone is not really being nice. Ain't that your, oh, I see you with your little friend on your little job, with your little car. You know. That's essentially what we're doing. Ain't that a carpenter? And now Jesus is like, ho. Allow me to reintroduce myself. I am more than just a carpenter. And he's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. My first point, we're closing here. And my first point, Jason, you put it on the screen. My first point, I am the way. My first point is that Jesus is our GPS. Jesus is our GPS. Many years ago, Renee made up this prayer that we pray every single time we get in the car. You know, it's a prayer we pray, and every single time we're going to get in the car, we're going to drive anywhere, we pray the prayer. It's very simple. It says, guidance, protection, and safety we pray. Amen. Many, many years after we've been praying that prayer, I realize this spells GPS. It never occurred to me. This spells GPS. And the thing with God being our GPS, God being our navigator, is that we not only tap into the deliverer, but we tap into the director. You see, what happens is, what we do as Christians is that we do stuff, mess up, and God delivers us. But then what God wants us to do is, I am a deliverer. I'm going to deliver you. But I also order your steps. If you can tap into the director side of me, you'd realize that hole you find yourself in, that trouble that situation you find yourself in, you won't be in that situation because I would have directed you out of it. See what happens? We only see right now. God sees tomorrow. He sees around the corner. So Jesus is our GPS. My second point is that it's taken from John chapter 6, 35. It says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I'm going to read it one more time. I am the bread of life. Now, he says bread, but he says hunger, and he says here, thirst. Now, the bread can't quench your thirst. So what is Jesus talking about here? Jesus is my satisfier. Point number two. It's one thing to trust him with my salvation. It's another thing to trust him with my satisfaction. Sin, we talked about sin earlier. Sin is a way of saying to God that you can't satisfy me. That's what sin is. Sin is really, you know, you telling God, you can't satisfy, the maker cannot satisfy what he made. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, it says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of the living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. There's nothing wrong with there's nothing wrong with supplementing. I gotta be very careful. We cannot. Help me, Lord. I won't get in trouble. I'm trying my very best. Ain't nothing wrong with going to church. This, what we're doing, You know, the Bible says don't forsake the assembly. There's nothing wrong with gathering in this setting. Now, if this is your main source, you're in serious problems. There is nothing wrong with supplementing your main, your spiritual relationship with God, with church. When you come here, you should be worshiping. You should come here worshiping. Ellen White says every single breath should be a prayer. You should be in constant communication with God. And so practice is to use this as the source. And this is what the Bible is saying. The cistern, it is broken. Because we're all human beings that are imperfect. And we try to keep our ears to the ground, listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to his guidance. But every now and then we get it wrong. And sometimes we get it right. But then we affect relationships in getting it right. So it's not about the fact that you got it right, but then how you went about doing it. This cannot be your main source. You got to be one-on-one. Homegirl said, we're besties, BFFs. You got to maintain that one-on-one. And so you can realize that he can, somebody say, he can satisfy me. He can satisfy me. Come on, say it together. He can satisfy me.
He can satisfy me.
My third point is I am the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. The Bible says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light forever. Now, darkness is not just a metaphor for evil. Darkness is also a metaphor for ignorance, right? When you have, the more light you have, the lesser the risk or the probability of you getting hurt. I'll give you an example. For example, I was walking in, I was navigating my home at night when the lights are off. I was trying to make my way to a particular room to get a particular thing, right? And I am very blessed enough to have a son, and not just a son, but then people who love him and buy him stuff, Shireen. They buy him stuff that I want to throw away, right? And every now and then, he leaves these things on the floor, on the walkway, every now and then. What I've done before is I've just taken it up, and because you leave it there, you don't need it. I take it up and I throw it away. Right? I did it one time. He came back asking for it like a day or two later. And he told me that he was very hurt because that toy meant a lot to him. He didn't cry. He didn't scream. He didn't fuss. He said, I'm very hurt. I think it broke my heart. I would have rather him cry. I promise. Just go ahead and cry. And so I haven't done it since. But this particular night, I'm walking trying to get somewhere, in the house. And I step on what I describe as a weapon of mass destruction. I'm going to tell you something. Whoever invented Legos, they're not of Jesus. They are dangerous weapons. I stepped on that Lego. Y'all don't judge me. Do not judge me. I said every word. I said some words. God was not pleased. The pain I felt, I wanted to fight him. I want to fight him so bad. But here's the thing, though. The switch was right there by the step. All I had to do was turn the light on. If I had turned the light on, I would have seen the thing being there. And this is what we do. We operate in darkness. Not darkness as in evil activity, but darkness as in ignorance. God's saying, yo, be anxious for nothing. Oh, anxiety is real. I can't do this. But the Bible tells you, be anxious for nothing. He said, be anxious for nothing. He said, don't stress. What we do? We stress. You just need to get one call with that bill saying that you're past due. I remember when I just left college, they used to, you know, student loan, and they used to call me and whatnot. And somehow the Spirit just put in my heart. Listen, the Spirit just said, yo, the student loan that I have is between me and the U.S. government. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But we stress over things that we shouldn't be stressing over. And so you spend more time in a state of stress and worry and anxiety. Now, what kind of state are you going to? What amount of time are you spending in worship? What amount of time are you spending one-on-one with God? God is saying right here, turn the light on. Turn the light on. And the reason we all need to turn the light on is because we all have abilities that we aren't using. You're not tapping into that aspect of Christ. He's saying the power isn't coming through you. The power isn't in you. The power is coming through you. The power is coming from I am the source. So when the computer fails, when you show up to the exam and don't study, how many have passed exams they weren't prepared for? Huh? How many have showed up for an interview, did the interview, and they just went away from the script? We had an agreement. They just went left. But still you got the job.
I'm gonna wrap up in 10. So last year, I'm thinking, yo, I need to work from home more. I need to work. And so my year-end review, APR, is coming up, right? And so I'm like planning in my mind, Spencer. I'm planning in my mind. I'm going to be asking for this. I'm going to be asking for this. And I'm going to be asking for more time, work from home time, right? Now, a good person with a desire would not just plan to ask the question, but you would probably prepare some rebuttals, right? You would anticipate a no or a question, okay, justify this ask. And so I spent a lot of time as to why. I went over, I was prepared. I was so ready. I went into that meeting. I sat down. We had a very good conversation. They were like, "Yeah, you're doing this. Applaud me, and I'm amazing. I feel proud of myself and whatnot." And I'm just waiting for the opportunity to ask this question. And they finally asked the question. Okay, what do you need in this new year to even do better? It's funny you asked that question. I was thinking, you know, I would need more time. I need more time working from home. And I stopped, and they looked at me, and I'm like, I tell you, I have the answers ready. I have them ready. And they said to me, what would that look like? I didn't think about it. I never thought about that at all. And they threw me off when they asked that question, because I'm prepared to defend what I'm asking for. I'm not prepared for them to say, oh yes, right away. What would that look like? And so right there on the spot, in about five seconds, I'm like, you know how we use word fillers to think? So what that would look like, and I'm putting every single word, because I'm trying to think this through. And so I asked for what I asked for, and they are like, okay, all right, we'll let you implement that. I was like, are you serious right now? I could have asked for, I just want to work from home all the time. I don't want to come in here ever again. I could have asked for all of that. And I didn't. Yo, he's saying, stop worrying, stop stressing. Let me turn on the light and let me take care of all your needs, all your problems. That's number three. Number four, I'm going to go through these. It says, I am the door. John 10, verse 9 and 10. It says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. It says, the thief come. I talked about this. The thief come to comes to kill, to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Number four, it says, Jesus is my access giver. Listen, this is it. This is it, guys. Listen. Jesus, he does not just open doors. Anybody know God opened doors? Anybody knows that he opens doors? He opens doors. He closed them. He says it. But he's not just, he does not just open door. He's saying he is the door. He's the door. It says, I am the gate. He's the door. I can open the door, but I also am the door. All right, I'm going to go past. I'm going to go fast. 8 minutes. Number five, it says, I am the good shepherd. John 10, 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd does what, everybody? Y'all need to come to Good Morning. I need to come to Good Morning. Good Morning was amazing this morning. Good job, Doc Elifanad. It was amazing. A question was asked this morning. If you had 5 minutes to talk to Adam and Eve and try to affect the outcome of sin in a positive way, what would you say? The whole place turned upside down. You know what I'm saying? The whole place just turned upside down. The conversation was rich and full. The Bible is saying here that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Anybody know Psalm 23? What does it start with? The Lord is my shepherd. Keep going. Say it. Green pastures. He what? Keep going. For his, I will, for, what? Stop. They what? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, can we be real? When you think shepherd, what's the first thing you think? Okay, all right, fair enough. What else you think? The second thing. Huh? When you think shepherd, do you think warrior? No. Nah. When you think shepherd, you think weak, right? Every show I've seen, they have a long staff, and they're walking, and they're old. I've never seen. David was the first, the young shepherd. I don't know. And, you know, he was the, and he didn't have a staff. Did he have a staff? I didn't watch the movie. But when I think shepherd, I think sheep. As I was studying this, and I remembered the 23rd Psalm. I remember it talking about thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, some of y'all may be a little offended by this here, but hear me out. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff. Y'all following me? Thy rod. Jesus was packing that. See y'all? See? All right. Watch. All right. Sherwin, you with me, Sherwin? Are you with me? You not with me? All right. Let me ask you a question. If you are walking somewhere, right? You are walking somewhere, and you have security around you. And everybody have weapons, and they have, you know, the weapons they have, Legos and all the others. They have weapons. Do you not feel safer? Come on, think about it. We talked about sheep this morning. Can a sheep protect itself? Can a sheep protect himself? The Bible is saying, David is saying right here, that the rod and the staff comfort him. The rod and the staff comfort. The rod is not just something to walk with. I imagine the shepherd is saying, I wish a wolf would. I wish a wolf would. Try me. and see if I'm not going to protect my sheep. It's not that what he did on Calvary. It's not that what he did on Calvary. When man messed up and sinned, and he said, you know what? I'm going to come take care of it. I'm going to come shed my blood. I'm going to come and let them pierce my hands and pierce my side. See, we trip. We trip thinking that the rod is just a physical rod. But how many know that you have been protected by God because of his power? You should have met in an accident and he blocked it. You should have had cancer and he blocked it. You should have had diabetes and he blocked it. The rod and the staff protects you. How many times you've gone to a bed and didn't even check the door? The next morning you got up, the door was open. I can't even tell you how many times I've left my key in the door. The rod. Jesus was packing. This sounds funny. It sounds funny. But that's what he does. As a shepherd, he protects. We're the sheep. And we lose our way from time to time. We can't protect ourselves. Because when we try to protect ourselves, we make it worse. The hole gets bigger. We get in more debt. Come on, can we talk about it? We get in more debt. We try to do what we see on Oprah. We're going to sit down and we're going to have a conversation. And you wrote down all the tools, all the tools for effective conversation. You wrote it down, right? And you sat down with the individual and they said the wrong thing. Whew! You never accounted for that. You never accounted for it. And so now, forget these tools. You blow up completely. We need to talk. We need to tap into every single aspect. Randall, you can start playing right now. Tap into every single aspect of God. Jesus is my, what, everybody? Jesus is what, everybody?
Defender.
Jesus is my defender. Number 6 says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, 25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. I don't want to go. Who don't know the story? I don't want to go. I'm going to wrap up real quick. Lazarus. Y'all remember Lazarus? This is what Lazarus stands for. Lazarus stands for, in this context, something that the people love, something that Jesus loved. Two things, right? Jesus loved, remember Jesus wept, remember? Jesus died, Lazarus died, he heard, and what did he do? He cried, right? Cried. Now, they went ahead, so Lazarus didn't just die, but they went ahead and they buried him, right? They buried him. It had been 4 days, they buried him. Jesus went and Jesus called him from the grave. Y'all remember that? Jesus called him from the grave. Now, this is my question. What have you buried that Jesus was not through with? There's some stuff that you thought was dead. Some stuff maybe inside you that you thought dead. And Jesus is saying, I'm not through with this yet. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming to use that thing. And the last one says, I am the vine. John 15, 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears fruit, while every branch does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even bear more fruit. Jesus, this is the last one. Jesus is my multiplier. Jesus is my multiplier. This is a very interesting concept. Very interesting concept. Because Jesus does multiplication through subtraction. He said he prunes, he cuts it. He cuts it so you can have more. I talked about this some years ago, how I don't like when my wife cut her hair. I never liked it. Never liked it. And one day I learned about, ladies are going to appreciate this, I learned about split ends. Split ends. And so when she goes to the salon, what happens, the hairdresser got to cut those ends so it could grow. His multiplication is through subtraction. So there are some people and there are some things that he's going to take them out of your life. There are some doors that he's going to shut. You're going to hear no. And it's going to hurt. Because we really want that thing. For whatever reason, we want it. We want it. We want it. We want that husband. We want that wife. We want that job. We want that car. We want that house. We want it. We want to be financially free. We want it. And sometimes it's not even that big. Sometimes it's something very simple that you know he has the power. We want healing. That's good. That is good. We want to be set free. We committed the crime, but we don't want to do the time. And sometimes, in some case, he's going to allow you to sit in it for a while. He's going to tell you no. Sometimes the yes will be delayed. And your thinking well, this is what we think as Christians. What did I do? Why Jesus is punishing me? And he's saying, no, there is some lesson in this journey. If you can just tap in to what I'm trying to tell you, if you can just focus on me, there's some stuff that I'm trying to get your attention so you could see and have an understanding as to exactly what I'm saying. So my question before I pray is, which one of these things have we as lover of Jesus, lovers of Christ, which one of these things have you not tapped into? And if you can identify at least one, stand with me. Let's pray together. Father, you are everything to us. You are the gate, you are the door, you are life. You've called us, Father, out of dark places into the light. You are our source for everything. And so, Father, we pray right now that we stay in a frame of mind where we tap into all aspects of you. That we won't be among the many that had access to power but didn't get power. We had access to healing and never got healed. we had access to full restoration. But because of the things that we told ourselves, because of the things that we listened to, because of social media, because of culture, because of society, Father, we feel like we're in bondage. We don't feel like we have been restored. Father, we ask that you remove anything, any self-doubt, anything, God, that is causing us to doubt all the things that you've said you are. I pray, God, that this experience will be one that increases our faith. And that, Father, we will tap into you in all aspects of you. That we'll walk different, not because we're being arrogant, Father, but we'll walk different because we now realize that in you is everything that we need, like that you really will provide all our needs. That Father, you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and Father, you meant it. That you said the faith the size of a mustard seed, Father, could move a mountain, and that is true. That you said that we are lenders and not borrowers, and that is true. That we are above and not beneath, Father, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. That you came and that you died for each and every single one of us, Father, and that is true. We thank you. Help us not to take it for granted, the things you've done. Help us not to take for granted the things that you're going to do. May we keep in the forefront of our minds your love for us, and may it anchor or love for you. Forgive us, God, of all our sins, known and unknown. In Jesus' name we pray.